Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, again and again, we thank you. We thank you for being a good God, for giving us your word that is truth and that will not come back to you void, but will accomplish those things that you have set it out to do. So we take this time today to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would clearly state those things that we need to hear so that we will continue to grow from faith to faith. Father, we thank you that you have given us dominion, power, and authority over Satan through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. So we remind Satan right now that he is defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. And as always, Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We thank you, Father, in that name that is above every name, the name of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God say, Amen. Well, family, today we are starting a new teaching that is an excerpt from my thesis entitled, The Holy Bible is a Blood Covenant Book, which I wrote in 2007 to earn my Master of Arts degree in theology. Since then, I have taught this teaching all over the world, including on the mission field in Zimbabwe, Africa. The purpose of my thesis was to biblically validate that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book instituted by our Heavenly Father to meet the need of His blood-bought, blood-washed children, spirit, soul, and body. And I am thrilled to teach even a portion of this teaching to you. The research and study of blood covenant not only earned me my degree, but more importantly, it gave me a greater appreciation and comprehension of God's word, which I was then able to apply to my own life with much success. And I trust that it can do the same for you if you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. Let's get started. As a result of this blood covenant entered into thousands of years ago under the Old Testament, today, under the New Testament, each Christian can expect to walk in total victory because of the redemptive work Jesus paid for on our behalf through his life, death, and resurrection. Therefore, we will be examining the Old Testament and atonement through animal sacrifices, which will give us a better understanding of our New Testament and redemption in Jesus. In short, our New Testament is a better covenant based on better promises in Jesus. His redemptive work makes us more than conquerors, and no one or nothing, including Satan, can keep us from living victoriously in Jesus. When we take the time to apply God's word to our life correctly. The goal of this teaching, again titled Redeemed in Jesus, is to give you, the listener, a deeper knowledge and understanding of the ultimate gift of love God expressed through Jesus, a love that bought back mankind to the living God so that man could once again enjoy and receive the benefits of the Heavenly Father, which were ordained from the foundation of the world. Family, let's first define what redeemed or redemption means. Redemption simply means to buy back or a recovery by payment. As Christians, we were bought back from Satan and the curse of sin, which is eternal death. We are now reunited to the Heavenly Father by the blood of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. As a Christian, we have once again right standing with the living God and are declared righteous in Jesus. Satan no longer has dominion over us, and he is under our feet. In simple terms, Satan is a defeated foe. Let's read the following scriptures that validate the statement of truth. All scriptures readings are taken from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. I'd like to start with Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Now, before I read this verse, I do want to again remind you that this is the introduction to this teaching, but I believe I'll be able to start next week with Old Testament atonement that will lead into, of course, the meat of our teaching, which is the redemption in Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. I'm going to read. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Wow. This passage here really just summarizes not only what Jesus did, but what God did through Jesus. But I do want to point out a few phrases or a few words in this passage for clarity, because I know that many times if we have listeners who have not yet gone through church training or have listened to studies, they may not recognize the words or have a full understanding of what certain words mean. And for us Christians, as a reminder of who we really are in Christ, to get a better understanding of the words, I would like to highlight the following. So starting with verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, this all have sinned, you may be thinking, well, I'm a moral person. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cheat. Why am I considered an individual that has sinned? Well, the original sin is what we're talking about in this verse. All have sinned is in reference to Adam. Adam was created by God, and God gave him dominion over the earth realm and appointed him as mankind's representative. Satan knew that. If he could deceive Adam through Eve, he could get control of the world system. As a result of Adam's sin, every man, woman, and child living on this earth is born with a sin nature. This is why we need salvation in Jesus, because Adam sold mankind into sin. Number two, this word redemption. Now, we have already defined it, but I do want to highlight it again, because in verse 24 it says, being justified freely by his grace, referring to the grace of Jesus, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redemption, again, means to buy back, or in other words, to recover by payment. Jesus paid the high price of sin on our behalf, which is death, to give us eternal life through the gift of salvation. So redemption simply means that we have been bought back through a payment. Then in this same passage, verse 25, it says, whom God set forth as a propitiation. Now, this word propitiation, we do not use that often, even in the churches. But it basically means to render favorable. In this case, the sinless life and the precious blood of Jesus rendered mankind favorable unto God. That's what Jesus did on our behalf. Adam sold us to sin, and Jesus bought us back through redemption and rendered us favorable before our Heavenly Father. Then it goes on to use the word righteousness in that same verse to demonstrate his righteousness. Let me explain this word righteousness. It literally means declared just before God. The gift of salvation through Jesus declares us just before God. That's what Jesus did on our behalf. We don't deserve to live with the living God because of the sin that we were sold into by Adam. But because of what Jesus did through his life, death, and resurrection, he completed the payment for us so that we would not have to die death, eternal death. And as a result of that, we are declared righteous, declared just before God. Then the last word that I want to highlight is in verse 25 at the very end of that passage. It says, because in his forbearance, God passed over. All right, this word forbearance means an abstaining from the enforcement of a right, as from collecting an overdue debt. God chose to forgive our debt for sin through salvation in Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to pay the cost for what one man did in the Garden of Eden. As a result of Jesus completing his assignment, we now have eternal life in Jesus. So that's the good news, family. We have been redeemed or bought back into the family of our Heavenly Father. Let's go on to the book of Ephesians. I would like to read from chapter 1, just one verse, verse number 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him, referring to Jesus the Christ, we have redemption through his, again, referring to Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his, again, Jesus' grace. Everything that the salvation package offers is a result of one man, and that is Jesus the Christ. As a result of the work that he completed, his redemptive work, his blood that was shed, we are forgiven of all sins, and we are under his grace. That's what makes us just before God, and that's why salvation, the gift of salvation, is so important to every man, woman, and child. We need to understand the wonderful work that was completed in Jesus and how it can set us free, deliver us from that satanic Satan and all his devices. Let's continue. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, again, the forgiveness of sins. That's my emphasis. The forgiveness of sins. This is a wonderful passage. It also confirms, again, that we have been forgiven of our sins. I want to highlight verse number 13 and really stress how important it is for us to not just receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, but to understand the importance and degree that we have been set free in Jesus. When you receive that kind of knowledge and understanding, then you will operate in the boldness of God's Word. Understanding who you are in Christ is a big step for operating in faith in the Word of God. So in verse 13 it says, He, referring to the Heavenly Father, God Almighty, has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now this power of darkness is in reference to Satan, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, referring to Jesus, in whom we have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. All right, family. These passages that I have read really give us the word to step out in faith and to really accept what we have done by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So I want you to keep these scriptures in mind, what God is relaying to us as we continue in this teaching. Now I want you to notice one humongous truth, and that is the act of deliverance is past tense, meaning it is a done deal. We don't have to hope and wait for deliverance. We are delivered from the power of darkness, meaning we are delivered from Satan today through the salvation in Jesus. Amen, amen. Too many Christians miss this important truth. They are hoping and waiting for deliverance from Satan and his evil assignments, when the real truth is that they are already delivered in Jesus, and all they have to do is use God's word to keep Satan under their feet. I know it seems very simplified, but it is the truth. We do have victory in Jesus, and we do have all that God has asked us to do in the power of Jesus. We don't have to be concerned about this or that, because we have God's mighty word to do what God has called us to do. Now again, today I am giving you an introduction of what is coming. But in the weeks to come, we are going to be discussing atonement and the Old Testament saints that really point to what Jesus' work would be, the Messiah, and what he would complete and provide for the children of God. And that's what we're going to be building on in the next couple of weeks, finding out what the Old Testament saints actually set up, predicted, prophesied about, and gave us the foundation. Remember, when I started this first session in this class, I said that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book. And this blood covenant that I'm speaking of will take you all the way back to the book of Genesis. That blood covenant that was shed between God and Abram that really pointed to the Messiah. And as we go through Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament saints, examining their lives, you're going to see time and time again the image, the type of what Jesus would be doing when he returned or when he was born into this earth realm. It is a result of what the Old Testament saints completed that will assist us New Testament saints to appreciate and to understand the work that Jesus completed for us. It's not by chance. It is a divine assignment, and it was dictated and provided for us once that sin took place in the Garden of Eden. So I want each of the listeners to continue to stay with me. I want you to listen in because I don't want you to miss out on any of the valuable information that is going to be given regarding the Old Testament and the saints and prophets that will give you a better understanding of why we have Jesus, why he did what he did under the New Testament, and our ultimate gift of salvation that we live on. And again, this salvation package is more than just missing hell. I know I've said it before in other studies, but the salvation package includes deliverance from evil, safety from harm, preservation, good health, a sound mind, prosperity, and everything that we need to live a victorious life in this earth realm. God is about providing and protecting his children, and we are his children in Jesus. We have an inheritance, and we're going to be talking about that inheritance and all that it entails in the weeks to come. So I want to make sure that everybody gets a full understanding of the Old Testament atonement versus New Testament redemption. And I trust that all the words and scriptures that we're going to be reading will be a blessing. It will be a blessing, and not just good to your ears, but it will inspire you, it will reach your spirit man, and edify and quicken the spirit man to operate according to God's word. That's what it's about, family, is finding out what God's word says, understand the meaning, and then step out in faith in the word. We are people of victory. We don't have an excuse. We are more than conquerors. That's what Jesus provided to his children. He provided everything we need to live successfully. So if we're not living up to the standard that God has provided for us, then we're the ones that are missing something in the Word of God. We have either missed it because of ignorance or disobedience. But I want you to know that it's never too late. God wants his children to grow, become mature in his word, and live out his word in this earth realm so we can be blessed and be a blessing. And that's what I'm going to include in this teaching called Redeemed in Jesus, with a special highlight on what does it mean to be redeemed. We know the churches have talked about being redeemed in Jesus, but have they taught us what redemption is really about? And that's what this teaching will give you, a good understanding so that you can apply the word and be successful in all aspects of your life. And then, of course, so that you can be a blessing to others, your family, your job site, your community, this nation, the world. God is looking for some people who will operate in the boldness of his word, that will share all over this world the good news of Jesus Christ, so that others can come to know him and be blessed and be a blessing. That's what it's about, family. I'm tired of seeing beat down, broke down Christians who do not know who they are in Christ, and as a result, they let Satan beat them down, you know, whether it be in poverty, whether it be in sickness, whether it be assault in the mind or in the family, in the job site, whatever it is, that's not what God intended, and we certainly don't have to live in that area in our lives. We got the victory. Satan is defeated, and so what we need to do is continue to study God's word, continue to get understanding, continue to apply God's word so that we can be those mature, victorious, prosperous men and women of God that God created us to be. God's intent was never for us to be beat down, broke down, you know, enslaved in sin. That was not God's intent. But because of one man's sin, we were sold into the curse. But because of one man's victory, that being our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ, we have a way out. We don't have to continue to live in defeat, in the curse, beat down, broke down. We can live victorious, more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let you know right now, family, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. It is a good life in Jesus. It is a good life doing what God has called us to do. It is a good way to live out your days on this earth realm, and it can only get better. So, family, my time is up. I do thank you for yours, and please do return so we can continue in our study, Redeemed in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.